children of the risen King, rejoice. Hallelujah. We welcome you this morning. Listen to this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Christ is risen. Hear this morning the account of the empty tomb. First day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had laid, one at the head and one at the feet. She turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Teacher." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord."
Majestic is your name in all the earth. Oh, Lord.
Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you."
How majestic.
Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have not seen? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." How majestic is your name.
Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
You behold the risen Son.
We behold the risen Christ, the living Word, God's sacrifice. We trust in you, we rise with you, O Lord.
Sing that with us, we behold the risen Christ.
We behold the risen Christ, the living Word, God's sacrifice. We trust in you. We rise with you, O Lord.
Would you rise this morning? Father, we come to you this morning, and we know that because you are risen, we shall rise with you. Father, we do put our hope and our trust in one and only, which is your Son, the one who died and yet now is risen. We do not look for the living among the dead, but we look for the living present one, Jesus Christ, our hope, our Redeemer, our King, and we declare him this morning. Thank you, Father, for you are indeed with us You are our light and our salvation, and we declare you this morning our only hope through Jesus Christ. Amen. Lift your voice.
Who has held the oceans in his hands? Who has numbered every grain of sand? Kings and nations tremble at his voice. All creation rises to rejoice. Behold our God, seated on his throne. Come, let us adore.
You will reign forever. Let all the men sing.
And you will reign all the ladies. Forever. You will reign forever. You will reign forever. Yes, you will reign forever.
Declare it, church.
You will reign.
Say, behold our God.
Behold our God, seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him. Behold our King. Nothing can compare. Come, let us adore.
Risen indeed. Lift your voice and let's sing today. Christ the Lord is risen today. We are his.
Sing, Christ the Lord is risen today. Alleluia. Sons of men and angels say, Alleluia. Just raise your joy. Triumphs high, alleluia. Sing ye heavens and earth reply, alleluia.
Raise your joys to the King of Kings. He lives again.
Lives again, our glorious King. Christ is risen, alleluia. He is risen, he is risen, alleluia. We will give him,
yes,
all the glory, alleluia.
He is worthy,
he is worthy, he is holy.
Sing, love's redeeming work is done.
say,
love's redeeming work is done. Hallelujah.
He has
fought the fight, the battle won. Hallelujah. Death in vain forbids him rise. Hallelujah.
He has done it.
Christ has opened paradise.
God, this morning, would you greet someone with the joy of the Lord? Greet someone this morning. Declare, he is risen.
Hey, I don't know. I like singing with you.
I like singing with me too, and you.
It is great to be together to celebrate this good news this morning. Now I want to ask you, church, what is it that you believe? Let's just say it together.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell.
The third day he rose again from the dead. Hallelujah! He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. He seals that to us. In the name of the Father, lift your voice.
In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we come. We gather together to lift up your name, to call on your Savior, to fall on your grace.
Say it again.
In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we come. We gather together to lift up your name, to call on our Savior, to fall on your grace.
Hear the joyful sound of our offering as your saints bow down, as your people sing. We will rise with you, lifted on your wings, and the world will see that our God saves. Our God saves. There is hope in your name.
In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we come. We gather together to lift up your name, to call on our Savior, to fall on your grace. Hear the joyful sound of our offering as your saints bow down, as your people sing. We will rise with you, lifted on your wings, and
joyful sound of our offering. As your saints bow down, as your people sing, we will rise with you, lifted on your wings, and the world will see that. And the world will see that.
Let the whole world see that. Our God saves.
Our God saves. There is hope in your
Father, we do come this morning declaring that there is one and only one through which we can be saved, and you have given him to us as a gift. He has conquered sin and death and hell so that we can declare, even this morning, if we're feeling that sense of mourning, that you have turned us so that we can see the risen Lord. So, Father, we come forth with songs of joy, knowing that you are the one that is the maker of this joy. And we sing it back to you this morning. Thank you for making it so. We stand on this beautiful name that you have given to us. Redeemer, Father, our brother, the gate by which we must enter, the truth, the life, and the way. What a beautiful name you have given to us, O Lord.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Not death, not hell, nothing in all creation can separate us from his love. Declare, church.
Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory. For you are
What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom. And yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus.
You may be seated this morning. Thank you, Lord.
Friends, as a resurrected people, we have the privilege of access to God for what Jesus Christ has done for us. We don't get to come because of us being worthy of anything that we have done or accomplished. We come purely because of the love of Christ has made the way for us. Friends, let's make the most of this opportunity. Let's draw near to the Lord in prayer. Let's draw near to the throne of grace where the Lord sits at the right hand of the Father forever. Let us pray. Alleluia to you, most high God. For you did not leave us to languish in sin and death, but you made a way for us. While we were yet sinners, that's when you died for us. Father, we praise you and your most holy Son and the Holy Spirit that draws us into presence with you, Father. Thank you that we have new birth into a living hope, a hope that nothing in this world could ever take away. Father, we come before you as people of hope, people declaring the victory of Jesus, as we come to you seeking that victory to be made manifest in our lives. For we do still see ways that death tries to have the last word. We see the ways that suffering and sorrow try to speak a lie to us about who we are, about what our lives mean. And Father, we declare your victory over those lies. We declare your victory in the face of the most sad and most horrible loss. Almighty God, we come to you as a church of redeemed, resurrected children, set free to make your name great. And Father, as we do that, we pray for the ministry of our elders, God, who have been, you have raised up to discern your will. We pray as they lead us and guide us in your vision of this church, we pray that you'd grant them wisdom and direction as they seek your face, as they worship you, as they encourage us and empower us to be your kingdom people in our lives. Father, we pray for our ministry partner with the local homeless shelter. God, we recognize that the cross creates a home for us. But God, for those of us who have an actual home, we realize that that idea may be hard to grasp when life has kept us from that. God, we have sisters and brothers in Christ who do not have a home. And we are grateful for the ministry of the shelter that seeks to give our sisters and brothers what they need to get on their feet and to declare that there is a greater home even still in Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for Forrest and Maggie Hoffman, our missionaries with Pioneers in China. And God, we pray your blessing over them as they seek to find creative ways to share the gospel in that place. Father, we pray for the members of our church, Stan and Mia Topple, particularly our sister Mia as she recovers from hip surgery. And God, we pray your blessing over Stan and his ministry as a deacon. God, we pray for Randy and Terry Tritt and their daughters. Father, we pray over the ministry of Randy's as a deacon as well, and for Terry's teaching and ministry at ACA. Father, we pray for Pat Tyson and that your blessing would rest over her and that you would empower her to live as a kingdom daughter in all that she does. Father, we pray for Ron and Peggy Tucker, for the beauty that Ron's art brings to the world and the ways that that beauty testifies to your goodness. Father, we pray that you would bless Ron and Peggy's home. Almighty God, we pray for Andrew Van Cott, our brother, and that again, you would bless him, that you would renew in him the joy of his salvation and empower him to manifest the kingdom in all he does. And God, we pray for James and Hannah Vance and their daughter Olivia. James, while he is away on training in the army, God, that you would protect him and encourage him as he has to be away from his family, and that you would bless Hannah and Olivia as well as they are without their husband and father. And God, we pray for Nomad Ministry, James's mission to get veterans connected to the mission field. And we pray your blessing over that as they seek to find the way forward to use the gifts of our veterans to bless the mission field. And Father, we pray that as people on mission, God, each of us have been called out by the Spirit. We have been blessed for the common good. And we pray that as redeemed people, as people who declare a victory over sadness, death, and sorrow, that you would grant our voices freedom to speak the name of Jesus, the powerful name, the wonderful name, the beautiful name. For indeed, it is in him that we have all our hope. God, we pray this all in his strong and holy name and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dana Christ Community Church, we are a resurrected people who seek to make the most of that life by manifesting him and glorifying God and making faithful followers of Jesus. And we try to do that through discipleship, gospel-centered outreach, and global mission. And if you're visiting with us this morning, first, we just want to extend to you a really warm welcome. We are so glad you're with us today on this, of all days, this most holy day of celebrating the resurrection of Jesus, the day where Jesus turns history around. It's the turning point of all human history. And if you're interested in learning more about us, we'd love to invite you to come to our stop by our connection desk. We have a welcome gift for you to let you know we're glad you are here, and also to find out what God is doing here and the ways that you can get connected. I also want to extend a special welcome to family who's visiting. If you're back home with us, we're really glad to have you back. We're not the same without you, and it is a blessed day to get to celebrate the resurrection with you while you're here. A couple of other ways we're celebrating this day together. One, we invite you after this service to our Easter fellowship time, a special time to just enjoy being the people of God together with a shared hope. Kids, we have a great opportunity for you. At 10 o'clock, we want you to be on the steps of the Gaither, where we're going to have an Easter egg hunt. The Lord has blessed us with a beautiful day today, so we're going to get to have an Easter egg hunt. We invite you to come. All kids are welcome. If you need a basket, they've got bags for you as well. Just so you know, parents, that they've tried to be very, very careful about what goes in there, but anything that's the size that's going to fit in a plastic egg may be a choking hazard. So we just want to please be mindful of that. But we really do welcome you to that. We're glad you're with us this morning. Christ has given us everything. He died to bring us life eternal and a hope that never fails. And so now we have an opportunity out of gratitude and joy to give back. And I say that saying, if you're not in a place where you're giving out of gratitude and joy, don't give. But if you are grateful for what God has done for you, if you want to empower the ministry of this church to get that good news out, we invite you to seek the Lord, to lay before him not just some money, but your entire life. Use this time during the offering to really ask God, how are you calling me to lay down my life to declare the resurrection? Friends, let us continue to worship God as we lay down our lives before him.
We recognize this morning that the song goes on throughout the entire world this morning, that people in Africa, Asia, India, South America, North Korea, celebrating the good news that Jesus is alive and he reigns. Sing this with us.
It's the song of the redeemed, rising from the African plain. It's the song of the forgiven, drowning out the Amazon rain.
the song of Asian believers, filled with God's holy fire. It's every tribe, every tongue, every nation, a love song born of a grateful choir. It's all God's children singing, glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns, he reigns. It's all God's children singing, glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns. Let it rise above the four winds, caught up in the heavenly sound. The praises echo from the towers of cathedrals to the faithful gathered on the ground. Of all the songs sung from the dawn of creation, some are meant to persist. Of all the bells rung from a thousand steeples, none ring truer than this. It's all God's children singing, glory, glory. Children singing, glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns.
Sing out.
It's all God's children singing, glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns, he reigns. It's all God's children singing, glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns. And all the powers of darkness tremble at what they've just heard. Cause all the powers of darkness can't drown out a single word.
Let's say that again, all the powers of darkness.
And all the powers of darkness tremble at what they've just heard. Cause all the powers of darkness can't drown out a single word.
The living word.
All God's children singing, glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns, he reigns. It's all God's children singing, glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns,
he reigns.
It's all God's children singing, glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns, he reigns. It's all God's children singing, glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns. We're all God's children singing, glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns,
he reigns.
It's all God's children singing, glory, glory, hallelujah.
Forever.
Well, happy Easter. It's great to be in the house of the Lord with God's people. Last time we were in this chapel, it was Good Friday service, and we ended with the burial of Jesus. And I was thinking about the burial of Christ. You know, for his burial, Joseph of Arimathea stepped forward and offered his own tomb for Jesus. It was a tomb very near to Jerusalem, cut out of a solid rock. In other words, a very expensive tomb. But the question, you know, why did Joseph offer his tomb for Jesus' burial? Well, it was simple. He knew Jesus only needed it for the weekend. Okay, maybe a dumb joke, hey, welcome to Resurrection Sunday and April Fool's Day. You know, what a coincidence, right? You know, Got to be a fool for Christ. But you know, on this day, there may be a lot of joking about what fools Christians are because you know, we believe what we do, and we can understand that, right? I mean, come on. We believe that 2,000 years ago, God took on human flesh, being born of a virgin, and then died on a cross only to rise from the grave 3 days later. In other words, we believe Jesus' life is bracketed by two impossibilities, a virgin's womb and an empty tomb. One, a door marked no entrance, and the other, no exit. And then his death takes away sin and gives eternal life. I mean, this sounds crazy. Like some fable or myth. I mean, how can the death of a single human being living 2,000 years ago in some far-off backwoods country possibly have any impact on our modern 21st century sophisticated lives? Well, this is the foolishness of Christianity. But what busts up this notion that this was all just some myth is the resurrection. If the resurrection is false, it is myth, and we are fools. But if it is true, then truly the foolishness of God is wiser than men. Everything about the Christian faith rises or falls on the resurrection. And these New Testament writers, you know, that present the evidence of the New Testament, these were not gullible people who believed in those kinds of things back then, before people got intelligent like us. Now, people back then didn't believe in resurrection any more than you and I do. People in our world, the modern scientific approach. But you see, here's the thumb in the eye back then and now that Paul and these New Testament writers tell us plainly. We saw Jesus Christ physically risen from the dead. Well, listen to Paul's testimony about this from his letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians beginning chapter 15, verse 3. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. Verse 12, now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits. Then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Well, Paul begins with a claim, and it's the claim that Jesus is risen from the dead. And he roots this claim, first of all, in the testimony of Scripture, And, you know, we're thinking, okay, the Old Testament here, that's what's in Paul's mind. And when we look at the entire scope of the Old Testament, the thrust of the Old Testament leads us to resurrection. We need this. We've got to have resurrection. You see, when Adam and Eve sinned, they are in the garden, they didn't just lose a cool place to live. They lost the presence of God, and they physically died. And from then on, the whole story of history of humanity, but certainly the story of the Old Testament, is this story of a ruined humanity hunted down and caught by death with no way to defeat it. But the story of the scriptures in the Old Testament is also that God pursued us, making a way for us to come back into his presence and to live. But for that to happen, I mean truly to happen, death had to be defeated. Well, the Old Testament sets us up for Jesus, because Scripture is not content with some vague spiritual resurrection our spirits live on. No! To be fully human is to be embodied in flesh and blood. And this is what the resurrection delivers. Jesus has conquered death and so brings the hope and the promise of Scripture that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, Psalm 23:6, and that though this body be destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, Job 19:26. Alongside Scripture, though, Paul marshals eyewitnesses, real people in real time, in a real place, who say they saw Jesus Christ physically alive, having come out of the tomb. Paul claims to be one of those. Paul, who was a persecutor of Christians, now the proclaimer of the risen Christ. And Paul says that others, Peter, the 12, more than 500 people at the same time saw Jesus alive. And the implication there, at least for these Corinthians, is, hey, if you doubt it, go ask them. Well, our modern day skeptics argue that, you know, the early church colluded. They made up the story in order to start a new religion so that they could gain influence and control over others. Well, let's say that the resurrection is the best conspiracy ever. But here's the problem with that. It's that most of these witnesses were killed for their belief in the resurrected Jesus, including Peter and Paul and most of the other apostles. Peter's death was particularly grisly, crucified upside down. And here's the thing. There's zero evidence that any of these eyewitnesses recanted in the end, saying it was a lie, we made it up. Now, people do die believing lies. But these eyewitnesses, they're different. You don't get an entire group of people dying for a known lie without somebody caving in to save their neck. These first witnesses suffered years of prison, ridicule, scorn, and rejection. They flushed their lives down the toilet, so to speak, in worldly terms, because of the resurrection, and they died clinging to this claim, we saw the risen Christ. N.T. Wright says these early Christians did not invent the empty tomb and their meetings with the risen Jesus in order to explain a faith they already had. They developed their faith because of the empty tomb and their encounters with Jesus. The scriptures and the historical eyewitnesses, evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, check it out. Well, Paul makes the claim, and then he plays the game, the what-if game. What if the resurrection is not true? Well, he lines up the grim realities. And the first is that if there's no resurrection, then Jesus himself is dead and gone. And that makes Jesus just one among many. Another human teacher offering chicken soup inspiration for the soul, but no salvation, no rescue from death. If Jesus is still dead, then our faith, wow, what a house of cards. We're still dead in our sins. Our biggest dilemma, sin, and the brokenness and death that it brings, it remains unsolved. I mean, will we ever get out of this mess? And our message, the good news, wow, what a lie that is. And what a waste of a morning you've just spent sitting here listening to a sermon on the resurrection if it's not true. Christ is risen. That's not a call to worship. It's a call to stupidity if there is no resurrection. The offering, might as well go out back and burn your money. Furthermore, if there's no resurrection, it's been nice knowing you. But there will be no joy in the morning, no dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. You know, without the resurrection, Stephen Hawking is right. There is no heaven or afterlife for broken down computers. That is a fairy story for people afraid of the dark. If there is no resurrection, we are trapped in death. We will never see our loved ones again. They are gone, and someday we'll be gone too. If for this life only we have hope in Christ, we are fools. I mean, it'd be far better to eat, drink, and be merry, grab what you can and all you can, because tomorrow we all die. That's the what-if game that Paul plays. Grim realities. But if the resurrection is true, as Scripture and eyewitnesses claim, then its significance is massive. That's just track two of these massive realities in the significance for life. First and foremost, because the resurrection is true, that means Jesus Christ is Lord. And the resurrection validates everything Jesus says. He said he would die and rise again, and he did. And so what does that mean for everything else that he said, everything he promised? Well, our sin, it is forgiven. It's been dealt with. The living God is our Heavenly Father. We will live eternally in his presence, gazing into the face of glory, love, and beauty. Because Jesus is risen from the dead, all the promises are yes and amen in him. They'll come about. I mean, who's going to stop him? Jesus has the power of an indestructible life. There's nobody who can outmuscle or outmaneuver him. Paul tells us that Jesus is reigning to win, verse 25. He must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. This makes Jesus the most terrifying person in the universe and the pillar of the greatest joy and hope. In the latest Star Wars movie, Kylo Ren, son of Han Solo and Princess Leia, has gone over to the dark side. He's embraced it fully. He's bowed to the power of Snoke, the Sith Lord. Well, dressed in black robe and helmet like his grandfather Darth Vader, Ren returns from a battle believing he's crushed the rebellion once and for all. But Snoke knows better. And he tells him, "You are no Vader. You're just a child in a mask." Kylo Ren responds, "But I gave you everything I had. I gave everything to the dark side." And Snoke replies, "Skywalker lives. This means the seed of the Jedi lives. As long as Skywalker lives, hope exists." As long as Jesus Christ lives, hope exists, real hope. He is Lord and nothing can stop him. He will destroy and remove all his enemies and ours. Hate, lies, oppression, abuse, rebellion, pride, injustice, disease, death. He will bring the kingdom of God, the kingdom of righteousness and glory, and that is what will fill the world. And because he is Lord, that means every one of us in time will face Jesus and give an answer to him for our lives. Well, what are you hoping in? What are you basing your hopes on for life in this world and life in the world to come? So many of us live short-sighted, building on what we can make of this life, you know, of a career, of our bodies, our talents, our money, our intelligence, our experiences. Several years ago, Woody Allen began a commencement address with this observation. More than any other time in history, mankind faces a crossroads. One path leads to despair and utter hopelessness, the other to total extinction. Let us pray we have the wisdom to choose correctly. You know? What he is saying there is that there's no grand hope that this world offers. Because everything crumbles, everything fails in the end under death's crush. But Jesus has conquered the grave. He is Lord. In him, in the resurrection, we have massive hope for life. But the resurrection is also significant because, well, it transforms the now that we're in. Everything we do, work, play, struggle, life has purpose. Paul writes, we didn't read this, but in verse 32, Paul writes about his struggles. He says, what do I gain if, humanly speaking, I fought with beasts at Ephesus? You know, you thought you had a rough morning at home getting ready for church with, you know, kids or whatever, you know. Paul fought with beasts at Ephesus. These are human beings, but it was tough going. And Paul says, you know, what's the point of that? What's it worth? And he says, if the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we all die. In other words, he's saying that if this life is all there is, fooey on hardship and suffering for others, what do you gain from that? Nothing. And so he says the conclusion, the right conclusion, is live for self. Get what you can and all you can now. That's if there's no resurrection. If the resurrection is true, however, well, then that changes everything. There is now a world that is coming in which our labors in this life matter. Indeed, Paul goes on to say his conclusion to the Corinthians on this whole subject of the resurrection, verse 58, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because you know that your labors in the Lord are not in vain. Tim Keller says to his skeptical secular friends that even if they can't believe in the resurrection, they should want it to be true. See, many of them care deeply about justice for the poor, alleviating hunger and disease, caring for the environment. Yet these same people believe that the material world is all that there is. It was caused by accident, and the world and everything in it will eventually burn up in the death of the sun. And they find it discouraging that so few people care about justice like they do. But Keller says that what they fail to connect is that their own worldview undermines any motivation to make the world a better place. Why sacrifice for the needs of others if in the end, nothing we do will make any difference? But if the resurrection of Jesus happened, then there is tremendous reason to pour ourselves out for the needs of the world. And the reason is because there is something larger than our work that is in play. Indeed, our work is part of a larger work. The work of Jesus Christ. He is working out his purposes. Verse 25 says he must reign. And reign there, the verb is an active verb. He is reigning. He is working. And for right now, the main way he's working is through you and me. When you think about this beautiful building, it took hundreds of workers to complete this. You know, some dug the foundations, others cut, hauled, chiseled stone. Masons laid the walls and floors. Some cut and milled timber. Carpenters put it up. Others finished it. Pews were built. Electricians, plumbers. I mean, they all had a hand with their work in this building. But these were all separate works done under a master plan. Well, your work, my work, is part of a... It's under the master plan of Jesus Christ. And his work order from the Father is to reign, to bring all his enemies under his feet. Ephesians 1:10 puts it this way, to unite all things in heaven and on earth in himself. Jesus is using you and your work at home, at the office, school, the good works of the church that we do in the community, all our labors he's using to reveal his character and to advance his purposes. So through you, he wants to bring reconciliation, redemption, blessing to others. Through you, he wants the world to know his love, his mercy, grace, and goodness. And all that is on display through you in your works, as you do your work in his power and for his glory. Now, we may not see exactly how our work fits in with all this, but as we do it unto Jesus, he sees, he knows, and he uses it. When you go to work tomorrow, or maybe just you're working later today at home, you know, don't misapply the words of the angel at the tomb, he is not here. You know, we can so easily go about our work brain dead, just grinding along under the notion that, no one here but me. He is not here applies to the empty tomb, not your work. Okay, in your life, in your work, he is alive. He is here. He is here in that meeting you have tomorrow. He is here in that pile of work on your desk. He is here in the setbacks of your projects. He's here in the struggles. The strife you have with that new boss. The backstabbing ways of a mean-spirited colleague. And Jesus is here with wisdom, grace, love, strength, forgiveness, peace. So ask him for these things. He is here to work his purposes out through us. Christian, you are no fool to go to work with Jesus, seeking to be the most diligent worker for your company, wanting your boss to succeed, your company to flourish, your colleagues to get the praise. You may not be as skilled or as smart as others, but asking Jesus to work through you to reveal his presence and his character that others may be blessed, that is Jesus' work. And he sees it, and he rewards it. If not in this life, then in the one to come. You have his word, and he is alive to deliver it. So, Christian, are you a fool? Well, perhaps in the eyes of the world, as Jim Elliot says, the missionary who was the martyr, gave his life trying to reach a Stone Age people in Central America. Jim Elliot says, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And you know, I think that last word is the sticking point for us, lose. You know, giving away and losing something, that's what keeps us back often from Christ, because we fear losing out on something good. We don't want to be a fool in that regard, right? Last month, I was visiting my folks at their home in Maryland, and one afternoon, I took a walk down to the woods below their house, and these woods offered hours of fun when I was a boy. I floated boats in the stream, then with friends, I would run out from the woods into these cornfields beyond, and boy, we would just have hours of running. We had little forts in the woods. There was in the cornfield, there was this little rise with this massive oak tree, and that was kind of our rendezvous place, and we would climb that tree, and we would look over these vast cornfields, our corn kingdom, and of course, we would always bring our fishing poles, because there was this cool pond right in the middle of these fields. And I brought home a lot of brim and sunfish to the delight of my mom and dad many, many occasions. That field and all it offered was a place of great happiness when I was a boy. But a few weeks ago, standing in those woods and peering through them, all the fields were gone. Even the great oak and the pond, all irretrievably gone, turned into a development now of lots, houses, and fenced yards. What a picture of life. It seems we keep encountering irretrievable loss. And sometimes we think Christianity only adds to the pile of losses and thus the missing out on life. But the resurrection does not offer us consolations in the next life for the losses we've had to endure in this life. No, the resurrection promises restoration of what we've lost. As Tim Keller has written, you don't just get your body back, you get the body you always wanted but never had. You don't just get your life back, you get the life you always wanted and never had, except for these brief moments in the cornfields, ponds, and adventures of this life. Jesus Christ is living proof that we will miss nothing and gain everything. No religion, no philosophy, no human being can promise the kind of an indescribably breathtaking future as Jesus Christ promises. And as Christians, our hope for this future is based squarely on the historical fact of the resurrection. Jesus lives to deliver it. And if you are not a Christian, let me ask, why wouldn't you want this? Even if you don't like everything about the Christian faith, why wouldn't you want this hope of restoration? You're not being honest with yourself if you don't want that. And here it is, the way to it, Jesus Christ, the risen one. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. In Jesus Christ, you cannot lose. Give yourself to him. Be a fool for him any day. He is Lord, he sees, he rewards, he restores. Who is there to stop him? Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the dead, and he is here. Hallelujah. Amen.
The Word of God says, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, but open your hearts and receive him. Today, we do not know what a day will bring forth, but we do know that he is with us. And if your song or your hymn that you've been singing is Have Mine Own Way or I Did It My Way, Christ has a better plan for you. He wants you to follow him. And as Paul said at the beginning of this letter that Richard said, I declare to you what I have received. Pray today to receive Christ. He is more than we could ask or possibly imagine. And Jesus says, ask, seek, knock. The door will be open for you. So today as we close and as we sing together, there may be a prayer that you just need to offer before him, or there may be a prayer that you need to intercede for someone. I just invite you to do that, and then we're going to stand and we're going to sing and celebrate. But let's go before the Father right now. Father, I know that there are some here today who want to hear your voice, but have never heard your voice. And so, Father, I pray that you would again reveal yourself, that you are the gracious one who says, come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. Father, there is a family member or a brother or a sister or a friend or a neighbor. May we be your resurrected people who are declaring that reconciliation with God can happen. Be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, the great mediator and defender of our faith. Father, it is true that we do not know what the next day may bring forth. And so give us eyes to see your kingdom. Give us good works to do for your glory, because we know that the love of Christ compels us. Pour out your love upon us. May our eyes be opened again. May we receive the goodness of your gospel, knowing that it endures forever. Your love endures forever. Thank you, Father, through your Son, Jesus. Amen. Would you stand with us today? And we're going to sing soon and very soon. We are going to see our King. This earth is not our home. We are going there. Lift your voice and let's sing together.
See, soon and very soon, we are going to see the King.
Yes, soon and very soon, we are going to see the King.
Soon and very soon,
soon and very soon, we are going to see the King.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, we're going to see the King.
No more dying there, now say it.
No more dying there, we are going to see the King.
No more dying there,
no more dying there, we are going to see the King.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah, we are going to see the King.
One more time, hallelujah, sing it.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, we are going to see the King.
My Redeemer lives. If you know this Savior, this is your song. He is our rescuer. He has covered all our sin. Sing now.
I know he rescued my soul. His blood has covered my sin. I believe. I believe.
My shame.
My shame is taken.
My Lord has conquered the grave, my Redeemer.
There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah.
There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah.
Declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sword, we are the voice in the desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun, at the trumpet calling your voice, the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion till salvation comes.
These are the days of Ezekiel.
These are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest, the fields are as wide in the world. Yes, we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's a year of Jubilee, and out of Zion till salvation.
Behold, he comes.
Behold, he comes. Riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's a year of Jubilee, yes, and out of Zion till salvation comes.
And out of Zion till salvation.
Out of Zion till salvation comes.
Amen. Hallelujah. Beloved, let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord, it is not in vain, for Christ is risen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you. And he does in Jesus. And may he grant you peace and joy and hope all your days. He is risen and he is with us. Hallelujah. Go in peace. Amen.